Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for the love that you've given us. There's no way we could ever express that love the way that we need to. There's nothing adequate, Father, when we try to show you how much we love you. But I just pray through our actions and through our words and through our deeds, we would be very faithful to you and that we would love you and that people would be able to see the love we have for you, the love that we have for one another, and the love that we have for those that are lost. And I just pray, Father, that you'd be with us today. Speak through us. Put your anointing upon me and upon your word. And just help us to let the Holy Spirit minister through us today, that it would be all of you and none of me. And, Father, that we would preach exactly what you've laid upon our heart. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. And you say, well, I thought we was in 1 Corinthians. Well, we were. And we're going back to 1 Corinthians, if God leads us that way, next week. But a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned in one of my messages about a message that I preached a while back on the blessing of the tithe. And since then, a couple of things have happened. One, God has really been impressing that message upon my heart again. And two, some people that weren't here when I preached that had inquired about it. And so God's really laid it upon my heart to go back. And it was amazing. I thought it had just been about a year or two ago. I went back in my notes, and it was 5 years ago this month that I preached that message. Boy, how time flies, doesn't it? And so I got to restudying, and of course, in 5 years, God's given me some new insights, new revelations, some deeper understanding of His Word. And I am very excited about this. We are probably not going to get finished this morning. In fact, I know we're not going to get finished this morning. So we're just going to take our time, go through it this morning, and go through it tonight. But if it is of interest to you to have God's blessing upon you, to have God's favor upon you, you definitely want to pay close attention, listen very closely, and take some really good notes where you can go back and research it and see what God's Word has to say. Well, let me start off this morning by saying, I want you blessed. And why wouldn't I want you blessed? I mean, let me give you the definition of blessed. Blessed means to cause to prosper, to be happy, to be favored of God. If I am a caring, loving, compassionate pastor, that is exactly what I want from my people. If I wasn't a caring, loving person, I'd say, no, I don't care if you're blessed or not. But since I do care, since I do love you, I want you blessed. I want you happy. I want you prosperous. I want you favored of God. But even more importantly than that, God wants you blessed. Now, folks, a lot of times we, and I don't understand why we do this, but a lot of times when we're talking about being blessed, we throw up some walls and some barriers and say, you know, that just can't be. Well, it's all through the Bible. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, that is exactly what God's plan was for man. And when I'm talking about blessed, I'm talking about in every area of our life. Yes, we're going to be talking about finances, but this also pertains to our relationship with God, our family life, our social life, our work life, our church life. God wants us blessed in every area of life. And again, you can go to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had a great relationship. God and Adam and Eve had a great relationship. All of their needs were met in abundance. They had need of nothing. They had no cares, no worries, no concerns. That is exactly what God wants for us. That's what we see in the Garden of Eden. That's what we see in heaven. And in between the Garden of Eden and heaven, God's will for man has never changed. You can read Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. It tells you that. 1 John tells you that. St. John tells you that. Proverbs tells you that. So God wants us blessed, and we have got to understand and realize that God does want us blessed, or we will never receive His blessings. Now, to be favored by God, to have God's blessing upon us, we have to do what He says for us to do. Just like your children have to do what you tell them to do for them to be in your favor. If they don't do what you tell them to do, they're still your children, but there's not the favor there between the parent and the child that you so much desire and want. And it's the same thing with us. You know, the kids cannot act just any old way and be in our favor, and we cannot act just any old way and be in God's favor. So if you're not living in God's favor, If you're not living in the blessing of God, there's a reason. There's a reason. You know, just like your kids, when they're not in your favor, there's a reason. You want to be good to them. You want that harmonious relationship. And if there's not harmony in the home, there's a reason for it. And same thing in our relationship to God. So we need, if we're not living in God's favor and His blessing, we need to go get out our Bible, get on our knees, study the Word, meditate and pray and find out what the problem is and get back to it. Now this morning, like I said, we're going to be talking specifically about the blessing of the tithe. And for those of you that don't tithe, you need to pay attention. The tithe is not a curse. As you're going to see here in just a minute, there is a very specific blessing to those that tithe. And tithe is 10%. And we're going to talk more about that here in just a minute. But that should get your attention. That really gets my attention. If God says there is a specific blessing on the tither, then I'm going to do that. And we're going to look at that this morning. Now in Malachi chapter 3, we're going to go through some verses here. We're going to take our time going through these verses, and we're going to look at what God has to say about this. Starting in verse 8, and it's very apparent that God is the one that's talking here, so I'm going to read this just as God is talking. He says, "Will a man rob me?" The scripture says, "Will a man rob God?" But since God is speaking here, we're going to say, "Will a man rob me?" And God answers and says, "Yet you have robbed me." And the people answered and said, "Wherein have we robbed you?" And God said, "You have robbed me in tithes and offerings." Folks, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Now, to look at how serious that this is, look at verse 9. God says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." This is serious business. God says, "You are cursed with a curse. I want to bestow blessing upon you, but since you've robbed me, you get a curse." Just the opposite of what I want to bestow upon you. In verse 10, He says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." Did you notice that key word there? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now the storehouse for us is Center Point Free Will Baptist. Your tithe, 10% of everything that you earn, comes to this church. Because this is your storehouse. And God said, "Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house." In other words, that the provision of the church can be taken care of. And He says, "And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." There's the promise I was telling you about. He says, "I'm going to bless you if you tithe. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and bless you." And He even goes on and says that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And verses 11 and 12 kind of expounds upon this, on this blessing. He says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." I don't know about you, but I want God on my side. Right there He says, He'll be on our side and He'll rebuke the devourer for our sakes. "And He shall not destroy," talking about the devourer, "He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed." Folks, people ought to see that we're blessed. They ought to be able to see the favor of God upon our lives. It says right here, "All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, I don't know about you folks, but those verses right there get me just plumb excited. God explained to me in terms that I can understand how to have His favor upon me, how I can live in His blessing, and how He will pour out a blessing upon me. And it's all starting with the tithe. So we're going to be looking specifically and primarily this morning at the tithe. Over in Leviticus chapter 27, if you want to turn there, you can. If you want to just listen, you can do that. Starting in verse 30, it says, "And all the tithe of the land." Now, did you notice Malachi 3:10 says, "All the tithe, bring all the tithe in." And here it's talking about all the tithe again. "And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." Verse 32, "And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Now folks, that word holy there is a very key, important word in this verse. That word holy means dedicated or consecrated. In other words, the tithe has already been dedicated to the God. It already belongs to Him. That's why He said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That's why He said, if you don't, you are robbing from Me, because the tithe does not belong to us. Every time you make $100, $10 of that is God's. If you do anything with that $10 other than give it to God, because it's already His, you are robbing from God. That tithe is holy, dedicated, and consecrated to the Lord. Now, I want you to listen to me very, very closely here. God cannot, based upon His word, He cannot bless a non-tither. As much as He wants to bless you, He cannot bless you. In fact, verse 10, as we read over there, said, or verse 9 said, you are cursed with a curse. If you're not tithing, instead of having the blessing upon you, you've got a curse upon you. And God says, I don't want that. I want you to be blessed. I'm telling you how to be blessed. All you have to do is tithe and let Me bless you. Now let's look for just a second, and I'm just going to share this next verse with you, just to kind of give you an expanded vision of what God really wants for us. This next verse that I'm going to be reading is over in Luke 6:38. This is beyond the tithe, and I'll tell you why it's beyond the tithe in just a second. But Luke 6:38, Jesus said, and that catches my attention again. This is Jesus Himself speaking. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measurement that you meet, or with the same measurement that you use, withal it shall be measured to you. Now again, this is beyond the tithe, because we cannot give something that is not ours. The tithe already belongs to God, so we can't give the tithe. This is talking about above and beyond the tithe, but I want you to get a mental picture of what God really wants for you here. He says, if you'll give, it will be given back to you, and with the same measure that you measure out your giving, it's going to be measured right back to you. That's a promise, folks. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that promise, because God made that promise to me, and He made that promise to you. But again, it is very conditional. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. The reverse is also true. If you don't give, you cannot expect to receive from God. You cannot expect God's blessing to be upon your life if you're not a giver. And the second thing in that verse is, for with the same measurement you use, then it's going to be used to give back to you. Now here's what I want us to catch from that. You literally have control over how blessed you are. You have control over your harvest. God very clearly said, if you will give, then I will give back to you in accordance to how you're giving. If we don't have enough coming in, and again, money, love, relationships, all those different things, all we have to do is give more and give more and give more. I've talked to a lot of people that go through a state of depression, and I'll just tell them, if you'll go out and do something for somebody else, you'll be amazed how quick that depression will leave. Now, I understand some people have some medical imbalances and that kind of stuff, but most people that are depressed are just having a pity party, and they're not giving of themselves, and so they're not receiving anything back. Let me give you an example of this giving and receiving. Garden time is just about here. I've been watching some of you go out and start plowing your garden. Some people over in our neighborhoods have already started plowing. And I love to make a meal out of just good old fresh garden vegetables. But there's a problem with that. The last time that I planted a garden was 1987. Guess when the last harvest that I had from my garden was? 1987. I have not had a harvest in 22 years. The reason for that is I haven't sown any seeds in 22 years. Folks, if I don't sow, I cannot expect to receive. But if I do sow, I'm going to get back in accordance to what I have sown. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 puts it this way. Paul says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It's a law. Folks, this isn't luck. This isn't guesswork. It is a law given to us by God. And in verse 8, Paul goes on and says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I hope you caught that. The key to tithing is the fact that we know that God is able to multiply our seeds sown. Folks, that's vital right there. We've got to get that. When we don't tithe, we're saying, God, I do not trust you to meet my needs. When we do tithe, God's saying, I am able to make all grace abound, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. When I was growing up, Mom and Dad had 20 acres. The gentleman right beside us had 20 acres. The difference in those 20 acres is, this gentleman's name was J.D., our neighbor. His name was J.D. He made a living off of his 20 acres by raising vegetables. Mom and Dad had an area about the size of these pews right here. Guess what? We didn't make a living off of our garden. We had enough that we could get some vegetables throughout the harvest time. But J.D. was able to live off of what he sowed. What's the difference in his garden and our garden? He planted more seeds. Folks, it would have been ludicrous for us to look at J.D.'s garden and go, well, we planted seeds, why aren't we getting the harvest he's getting? It's just common sense that tells you the more you plant, the more you're going to get back. And you have to understand that you determine your harvest. You will reap according to what you've sown. Now, there's two things that's going to happen when I make that statement. When I say you're going to reap according to what you've sown, you're either going to get really excited or you're going to get really scared. If you have been out there and you've been sowing and you've been tithing and you've been giving offerings, you are going to get so excited because you know God's word is true and it's going to come in. The harvest is coming. If you haven't sown, you're looking around going, oh man, what a bad mistake that was. What an error in judgment that was. Now you can change that, but that statement is going to scare you or it's going to make you very excited. And let me share this with you. I've tried this just about every way you can try it. At one point in my life, I did not tithe. And guess what? I didn't get a harvest. There's been other points in my life that I have given just the required amount. The 10%. In fact, I knew a guy up at New Sulphur. If he had made $110 that week, the church was going to get a $10.10. He had it down. And he made sure it was just the right amount. Well, that's okay. That's what God requires of us. But folks, I've also, like I said, I've not tithed, I've tithed, and then I have given all that I can to get the harvest that I need. And I can tell you that is by far the best way to do it. And if you can't start out there, don't worry about that. But you have to start off with a tithe. You have to start getting God's life or God's blessing upon your life. So really the question is, how much of God's blessing do you want? It's that simple. How much of God's blessing do you want? Because he said if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. God does not lie and cannot lie, so that's what's going to happen. But he also said if you sow bountifully, you are going to reap bountifully. Now, let me say this right here. You cannot plant one day and get a harvest the next day. If you go out and plant some corn seeds and you go out the next day to dig them up to see how they're doing, All you're going to have is corn seed. You've got to give it time to germinate and to grow and to come up and produce the stalk and then to grow the ears, and you've got to cultivate it and water it and take care of it. You cannot plant your seed one day and expect a harvest the next day. But folks, if you don't plant, you'll never get a harvest. So it's going to take you some time. Now let me just kind of go off on a side note here for just a moment. Most of us would never, ever, ever think about stealing. Especially from our family, our friends, our neighbor, our church, and especially not from God. But like I said earlier, if we are not giving God what is rightfully His, we are stealing from God. The curse will be and is already upon you because God said that it is. The tithe already belongs to God, and I know you don't want to be known as someone that's robbing God or stealing from God. Now, I said all of that to say this. If you don't trust God in the area of finances, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that you trust Him with your soul. Did you catch that? If you cannot trust God with your finances, you're going to have a very hard time convincing me that you trust Him with your soul. Our soul is so much more important than our money. And if we can't trust God with our finances, then how would we ever trust Him with our eternal soul? That's something we really need to think about. In verse 10 of Malachi, God says, if you will make sure that my house is taken care of, then I will take care of you. I will take care of you. Folks, who would you want taking care of you? My choice is God. I don't want to rely upon my own ability. My own ability is weak, fragile, and small compared to what God can do in my life. So I want God taking care of me. I'm going to cover one more thing this morning. And unless God leads, we're going to wait on the rest of it for tonight. But something you need to stop and think about. God is not moved by our needs. God is not moved by our needs. I realize that statement might shock you. Yes, when He went to Calvary, He was moved by every need. But on Calvary, He took care of every need. He took care of our salvation. He took care of our health. He took care of our wealth. He took care of our relationships. He took care of every need that we could possibly have. But since that time, since He's met all of our needs, He is not moved by our needs. He is moved by our deeds. Let me give you an example. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. The asking is a deed. The need was already there. He says you have not because you ask not. The need was already there. The having not was already there. Until we do the deed of asking, the need is going to stay right where it is. God is not moved by our need. He is moved by our deeds. If God was moved by our needs, then one of the most blessed countries in the entire universe would be India. India has more needs than any other nation that I know of. God is not moved by their need. He's moved by our deeds. Folks, America has been blessed not because of our need, but because of our deeds, because we have lined up with God's Word. Our deeds have been in alignment with what God says in His Word. That's why we have got to make sure that as a nation we stay with God's Word, that our deeds are in harmony with His Word. He is moved by our deeds and not our needs. I am going to stop right there. But folks, I want to do two things. First of all, I want to encourage you to come back tonight. Why you wouldn't come back to hear more about this, I don't understand. If you don't want God's blessing upon you, you know, I can't change that. But God wants us blessed in every area of our life. Every area of our life. And most Christians do not visualize that. But He does. In our relationships, in our finances, in our health, in everything, God wants us blessed. Just like He did Adam and Eve. He wants our life to be in harmony with Him. And of course, the first step to that is salvation. The second step of that is obedience. And saying, God, I trust You and I believe Your word and I'm going to do what You tell me and I'm going to just put the cares of my life in Your hands. And until we do that, we cannot be blessed. Until our deeds come into alignment with God's word, God cannot bless us. I want to ask Marlene and Bill if they would to come with a song of invitation. Let's stand, if you would. This morning, the invitation is I want to encourage you to make sure that every area of your life is in alignment with God's word. Not just the tithing, but how's your prayer life? How's your Bible study? How's your love? Folks, we need to look at all of these areas and make sure that they line up with God's word. We need to make sure that every area of our life represents God in a very good way so people can see the difference in us. And then if they don't see a difference, they're not going to want what we have. Why would they want what we have if there's not a difference? They need to see a difference. They need to see us relaxed in the Lord. Instead of stressing out over all the problems that come up in life, they need to see us saying, I don't have a care. I have cast my care over on God just like He told me to. God's going to take care of it. And that doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility, but that does mean that we've cast it over on Him and we're given the responsibility to Him to lead us and to guide us and direct us and show us what we need to do. Folks, if we be real honest, most of us have made just a real royal mess out of our lives trying to do it our way. That's why God wants us to do it His way. So He can lead us and guide us and bless us. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. I thank You so much for Your word. And I thank You that You have shown us in Your word that You care about every aspect of our lives. And Father, You've made it so clear that in the area of finances that You want to bless us. But Father, You cannot bless us because we're robbing from You. We're stealing from You. And I just pray, Father, that if there's someone here today that has not been tithing, You will open up their eyes and show them that they are nothing more than a thief according to what You've said in Your word, and that not only are they not blessed, but they have a curse upon them. But God, today they can turn that around and they can make a commitment to tithe and receive Your blessing upon them. And I pray, Father, for others that may not be living in accordance to Your word in other areas of their life, that You would give them the courage and the boldness that they need to bring those needs to You this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.